Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. You know that performance counts, so put your pension in the hands of our experts. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoyne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, who doesn't love a sporting underdog story when against all the odds your team or your country beats the stats and all predictions to come out on top? Well, sport is littered with those stories, not least Troy Parrott's heroics against Hungary for the boys in green. So today we're going to look at some here and abroad and delve into the psychology of what it takes for David to beat Goliath. Well, I'm joined now by Orla McElroy, sports editor with the Daily Mail, and Kate Kirby, senior sports psychologist with the Sport Ireland Institute. Good evening to you both. Before we get into the discussion, let's start with Irish football and the two wins over Portugal and Hungary. Here's a little reminder, as if anyone needed any reminding, of how that Hungary game played out.
One last throw of the dice. It's all on this from Creamy Kelleher. Scales is up after it. Scales wins ahead. Troy Parrott, that is unbelievable. He scored a hat-trick, and right at the death, Ireland have done it. I've never seen anything like it.
Unbelievable, Orla. It's fair to say there wasn't much belief before the game.
No, there definitely wasn't. It's like there'd been sort of so many bad luck and bad results and bad performance stories with that team for a number of years that nobody was really expecting it, and especially with the start of the campaign going so poorly in Armenia. It was a lovely, pleasant surprise to see it end as well as it did. But the Irish football team are definitely responsible for a number of underdog stories in our history.
Yeah, Stuttgart 88 being, I suppose, the prime example of it, when the goal got nodded into the English net and then they just mounted a solid defence for the rest of the game. But, I mean, look, I suppose that's maybe not fair on the Hungary game. Portugal was at least a prelude to it. But, you know, optimism swept the country. Fans were quick enough to forgive and forget all those bad results you mentioned.
That's it. We really get carried away and overjoyed with the excitement of the big results. But I mean, there were to record those results back to back was a big thing, really, wasn't it? Like the Portugal win was fantastic, but to go away then, and they knew absolutely what they had to do, and going down twice, going behind, just made it even more dramatic. So yeah, I think we were rightly getting carried away with the excitement of that.
Kate. I wouldn't be the first sports analyst or to suggest that we tend to do very well in cases where we are seen as no-hopers going into it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's unique to us as a nation. I suppose historically we were underdogs for many, many years. We were not well resourced in sport. We didn't have great facilities, and we probably had a bit of an inferiority complex compared to our other nations we competed against. But I think that's changed. And I think with that, our ability to perform when we're not the underdog anymore has also improved. So, I mean, the Irish football team showed that, yes, like when our back is to the wall and when we were the underdog, we could produce the goods. But we also have examples of people like Katie Taylor, Kelly Harrington, Paul O'Donovan. When they're the absolute nailed on favourite, they can still produce the goods. So I think our identity has shifted and moved in the last 20 or so years.
Now, your own home county, Katie, never suffered from any underdog delusions. They seem to manage to be successful and continue it.
Yeah, that is another thing though, isn't it? That mindset where you actually are used to, when you go to Croke Park, you're used to coming home with a result. And you could say that has worked against, off the top of my head, I will just say Mayo.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's very difficult the first time you experience that pressure. And if you don't do it the first time, then you have the weight of expectation the next time, and then the time after that and the time after that. So it's important to break the habit of being the underdog and winning early, and then change your mindset, change your approach, and not rely on the lack of pressure that comes with being the underdog as the only way you know how to perform. And I think that's the risk you see with a lot of managers. They rely on that. Nobody expects us to win. Everyone's against us. And generating that siege mentality, that only works when you win once. The next year, you're not the underdog anymore, and you do have to evolve and adapt your mindset and your approach and your, I suppose, your philosophy of how you're going to play.
So you wouldn't recommend that as a strategy now leading up to the playoffs, that there needs to be positive motivation on that?
I think you can probably, you don't need to align yourself to one side or the other. I mean, if there are certainly, you can, managers like to selectively pick out a little bit of negative media criticism and bring it out at opportune moments. But it would be unwise to continue going, nobody gives us a chance, nobody supports us, everyone's against us, because the nation is absolutely behind them now. So the idea that everyone's against us is kind of a hard one to buy.
The old Millwall Football Club, nobody likes us and we don't care, was their motto. Orla, do you want to talk us through a few more underdogs? I mean, that's the soccer, but where else have we seen the prowess of the underdog?
Well, definitely when it comes to Irish teams, there's been a number of like very memorable ones, certainly since the millennium, like the Irish men's cricket team in 2007 and 2011 at the World Cup absolutely shocked everybody, because they were very much seen as underdogs because they weren't even full members of the cricketing elite. And 2007, they did very well. But in 2011, they went and beat England, which is always something that when any Irish team does it, you're guaranteed to get the whole country fully behind you when you manage that. So that was a big one there. The Connacht won the Pro 12 in 2016, and that was another great underdog story. Like they were a province who had been only 12, 13 years before. Their very existence was under threat because of financial difficulty, you know, of supporting all the provinces. But yet they managed to go and win the Pro 12, and to win a league over an entire season is quite a feat, you know, because you have to really sustain that level of performance. And as Kate says, it can't just be one underdog mentality. You won't manage that for a whole season. And the Irish women's hockey team are another example at the 2018 World Cup. So many people in this country didn't even know we were competing at that competition, and they entered it as the 15th team out of the 16, but by the time they got to the end of it, we all knew who they were. We knew players like Katie Mullen and Aisha McFerrin by name, and they were getting invited to Ursa Nukdron and appearing on the Late Late. So it's something we definitely love in this country, is a good underdog and a bandwagon.
That one in particular, I was saying today, I actually became a fan of women's hockey for about 10 minutes. That I don't think I'd ever watched a full women's hockey match before that, but everyone got caught up in that. I think we can just have a listen to that team, their semi-final shootout with Spain.
Can she find a way past the Spanish keeper, Ruiz, in these 8 seconds? Pinder scored with her first shuttle. Pinder scored with her second! And Ireland are in the Hockey World Cup final! The second lowest ranked side in the competition! Rip up the full book once more! And we'll play in the final match tomorrow afternoon!
I was there.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. I after we beat India, I hopped on a plane, stayed on my friend's couch, managed to nab a ticket, and I was in the stands for that. And I had previously worked with the Irish women's team for the London Olympic cycle, so I knew a lot of the players, and I knew the heartache they'd had on missing out in London and Rio. But the thing that just struck me was how much joy there was, like, amongst in the shared experience they had with the squad, but also with the fans.
There was that team, but there was that real sense of a team, of that team. As I say, that I had not been engaged with that until then, but that's what shone out from that experience, from that performance.
Yeah, there was just joy radiating from their faces, and it was a very deliberate strategy to engage with the support, because it was almost like a home World Cup for them being in London, and not just standing there seriously and, you know, belting out the anthem, but actually waving to the crowd and thanking them for coming and creating a connection, which I think made it such an enjoyable experience for them, and sharing it with their friends and family. And they brought that momentum the whole way through the tournament. From getting an early surprise win against USA, they just kept going and going. And Aisha's goalkeeping probably played a pretty significant part in that as well, because they won a few close penalty shootouts. But it was an incredible story, and the freedom. You could see the way they played on the pitch. They just played an attacking style. They weren't afraid of making mistakes. Everything after getting out of the group was a bonus. So they just played to enjoy it and to express themselves, and it showed in their performances.
All right. A nod to the neighbours, Orla. Scotland, that's a perennial underdog story.
Yeah, and they arguably even outdid us with their World Cup qualification, because they made it straight through. We've got the trauma of the playoffs to come in March, but they made it straight through. But I read a very funny thing the other day that after Scotland, so they scored their last minute goal to go 4-2, which was an outrageous goal, a lob from halfway. And after that, there was the British Geological Survey picked up enough seismic activity that registered to a very small earthquake at Hampden Park. So they absolutely enjoyed that one.
All right, very good. All right, Orla McElroy, sports editor with the Mail on Sunday, and Kate Kirby, senior sports psychologist with Sport Ireland Institute. Thanks very much for joining us on that. Let's hear some of that Scottish victory before we go.